Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Wednesday, April 29th. Our word of the day this morning is liability. Our word of the day tomorrow might be strike. Here's why. New York, New Jersey, and many other states, some with Republican governors, are trying to get Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to approve federal aid to help ease the crushing deficits that state and local governments are starting to face because of coronavirus expenses in the face of crashing tax revenues. McConnell has called the idea a blue state bailout. But yesterday, he cracked the door open to a deal. Now, McConnell's Senate majority might consider aid to state and local governments in exchange for liability protection for businesses. That is, companies that reopen their workplaces would be immune, not from the virus, but from lawsuits, even if they fail to take basic steps to protect their workers or their customers. Aid to local governments in exchange for immunity from liability for businesses. McConnell was on Fox yesterday afternoon, and the host, Neil Cavuto, asked McConnell the essential question regarding the essential workers. Here's that exchange.
We have a red line on liability. It won't pass the Senate without it.
So what would happen, though, Senator, of a business feeling that it is emboldened by liability protection, that it doesn't do some basic things like masks and other protections for workers because it might feel that it's legally bulletproof and doesn't have to?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you have to carefully craft the liability protection to deal with the money that would be supplied to state and local government, conditioned upon them and acting at the state level the kind of legislation that would provide liability protection for those who are seeking to go forward and to get the economy back up to work. Look, Mel, I've been talking to business people all over the country. There's a good deal of fear about getting back to normal, knowing full well the lawsuits that are awaiting unless we address this issue. So this is an integral part of getting the economy back up and running, getting the country back up and running, and that will be a condition for providing additional assistance to state and local government.
So Neil Cavuto asked the question, but McConnell ducked the answer. He just said, that's a good question. So our word of the day is liability. One more note on this. President Trump didn't wait for any deal in the Senate to start giving employers this get-out-of-lawsuits-free card. Yesterday, he invoked the Defense Production Act, as you may have heard, to require meat processing plants to remain open as critical food supply infrastructure plants had shut down. At least 3,000 meatpacking workers have gotten confirmed cases of the virus. But several news outlets are reporting Trump ordered them open not just because bacon is as important to America as N95s. He did it in part because the industry asked him to, for the sake of giving them immunity from liability as part of the package, which he did. Unions are furious because the president gave the bosses the gift of liability protection, but did not give the workers the gift of requirements for protecting the meat processing workers. That's why I wonder if the word of the day tomorrow or some other day soon might be strike. With me now is a member of Congress for far from any hog farms. He is Brooklyn and Queens Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Besides representing his district, Jeffries is also a top member of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's leadership team as he is chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. We'll talk about Mitch McConnell's liability problem and much more. Always good to have you on, Congressman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Great to be on with you, and hope that everyone, all your listeners, are safe and healthy in the midst of this pandemic.
And same to you. And you heard the deal McConnell is floating, aid to state and local governments, which you've been among those actively calling for in exchange for liability protections for businesses that reopen. I know you would have to work out details, but deal or no deal as an organizing principle?
Well, as an organizing principle, there's no deal there. The first organizing principle that is most important for us in Congress is to make sure that we address the needs of police officers, firefighters, first responders, EMS workers, transit workers, public hospital employees such as doctors and nurses and other para-health professionals who are on the front lines in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, who are essentially the individuals funded by state and local governments. That is why it's important for us to step in and to make sure we provide relief to cities, towns, counties, municipalities, localities, and states across the country. Whether they're blue states or red states, it doesn't matter. They are all Americans, and that is what we should do. With respect to McConnell, he is just posturing right now. Last week, he took to the Senate floor and or suggested in an interview or two that states should just simply declare bankruptcy. That was an outrageous idea that itself was morally bankrupt. It was rejected out of hand by Democrats across the country, and even many Republican senators either publicly or privately communicated to him that that was a non-starter. He was bluffing then. He's likely bluffing now, and it's all part of his negotiating posture.
Could this morning's national economy numbers change your thinking at all on this? For people who haven't heard, in the first quarter of the economy, the national economy shrunk at a rate of nearly 5%. And we know the economic shutdown only started in the last few weeks of that January to March quarter. Imagine where we really are now, 1930s stuff. Is that a reason, perhaps, to be lenient on businesses as they try to claw back and also rehire people when the time is right, if they have liability fears?
Well, we do want to make sure that we stand up the economy and do it in a way that is worker-centered and is focused on employees' health, safety, and well-being. That's one of the reasons why taking the approach through liability waivers would be counterproductive. The whole idea of negligence laws is to make sure that you put into place the proper legal incentives for employers to ensure the health, safety, and well-being of their employees and the individual American consumers that they come into contact with. If you strip away the possibility of liability in the manner that seems to be contemplated by Mitch McConnell, you have exactly the opposite impact. And you could trigger an increased infection rate if the necessary steps aren't being taken to protect the American people and these employees. Now, it may be reasonable, Brian, to take a look at some of the things that were done in the aftermath of September 11th, where, given the extraordinary nature of what occurred in that instance, there were things that were put in place, such as terrorism risk insurance, and there has been some conversations about how you can create a similar vehicle for pandemic risk insurance to put businesses in a better place, because what has happened is not their fault. This is a naturally occurring virus that has swept across the world and had devastating consequences to public health and the economy. So that is a reasonable thing to take a look at, as well as some of the things that were put into place on liability protection in the aftermath of September 11th. But a blanket pass to businesses would take us back 100 years to where we were, where workers were dying in factories without any real consequence.
Oh, so maybe there is something there in the seeds of some kind of standard like that that McConnell could find acceptable and say, we did it. Just one other thought on this. Meat processing plants, which are the things that have to some degree triggered this conversation, are like nursing homes. They're densely populated with sometimes hundreds of virus cases under the same roof now. And the meat processing plant Defense Production Act order from the president yesterday did not include requirements for protecting workers, only guidelines. So could another basis of a deal be some kind of enforceable federal standards for businesses that require workers to come in or that welcome customers in person?
Well, certainly that is something that we believe needs to happen. And Chairman Bobby Scott of the Education and Labor Committee has proposed an emergency OSHA standard that is put into place for essential workers and ultimately for every worker if we're going to restart the economy in a manner that addresses the dangerous nature of COVID-19. And we've got to understand, when you look at a super virus, which is exactly what this is, you have to assess two things, transmissibility and mortality. And when you look at the transmissibility of COVID-19, it's incredibly high, very easy to transmit from surface to human or from human to human, which is why it's been so devastating. And the mortality, as we've seen, not as high as Ebola, but certainly devastating in terms of its impact, particularly when there are underlying or pre-existing conditions such as respiratory illness, diabetes, or obesity. And so given the nature of this superbug, both in terms of transmissibility being high and mortality being high, steps taken by the federal government to make sure that there are standards that are put into place for health, safety, and well-being is just basic common sense.
I did find another thing about McConnell's Fox interview interesting. The president keeps obfuscating about the testing shortage. That's a big impediment to reopening, claiming testing is sufficient, even as he says they're adding more every day. McConnell, even as a Republican leader, didn't try to take that line. Listen.
One of the reasons we put $25 billion in the additional bill over and above the CARES bill that we passed last week for testing is we're not there yet on testing, not only the, what kind of tests, but how many of them. Actually, we'll tell you something other than you don't have it at the moment. And we don't yet have a treatment, and we don't yet have a vaccine.
So McConnell is saying things that the president won't say out loud. What's the federal role? And really, what's Congress's role if the president is trying to abdicate from the executive branch in seeing that enough tests get produced?
Well, one of the reasons why we rejected Mitch McConnell's initial effort to try to just jam another $250 billion down the throats of the American people without any guardrails in the context of the Paycheck Protection Program is that we felt that, one, we needed to put some things into place in order to make sure that small businesses that deserved the aid actually received it. And we also made the case that we needed to provide some additional resources to support our public health infrastructure. Ultimately, we were successful in that regard, and we secured an additional $100 billion in the most recent emergency spending bill, $75 billion of which will go to hospitals and nursing homes and for PPE measures for our essential workers and beyond, and then a $25 billion allocation to help enhance the effort. What we need to do ultimately, if President Trump refuses to take responsibility, ownership, or respond in a meaningful fashion, is provide the resources directly to the states and to these governors who, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, in many instances, are stepping up to try to make sure that they address the crisis and have all almost uniformly stated, or at least in the states that have been responsible, that it is important to stand up comprehensive testing if we're going to arrive at a new normal. And so it may be the case, although it is very unfortunate that we cannot count on presidential leadership, and I certainly hope that that changes. Hope springs eternal. But if we can't count on presidential leadership, we have to perhaps go directly to the governors and give them the tools and the resources and the ability to stand up a comprehensive testing regime on their own.
Let's go to another caller. Sing in Queens. You're on WNYC with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Hello, Sing.
I have a question. I'm an American citizen, and my wife is, I married my wife, and she does not have a social. She has a tax ID. I was told that I cannot get the relief check.
Yeah, thank you for that question. It's a very important question. Unfortunately, at the moment, the first round of relief checks have been limited as a result of decisions made by Republican senators and at the insistence of President Trump to U.S. citizens with Social Security numbers. Now, we did fight successfully to extend that out to permanent legal residents, and if you can believe it or not, the administration was fighting us on that area of eligibility as well, but we successfully won that battle. But we still are fighting the good fight as it relates to expanding the relief available if we take another step forward in CARES 2.0 to people with employee identification numbers, precisely because we know that so many of our essential workers who are helping the country function at this difficult moment are from the immigrant community. And now is not the time to play xenophobic political games to satisfy the president's political base. Now is the time to actually come together and provide relief to every single person in this country who needs it.
Congressman, can I ask what social justice and racial justice demand now, now that we know how extreme the race and class disparities are in this?
It's a great question, and what is clear, and the members of the Congressional Tri-Caucus, which include the Congressional Black Caucus, Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and Asian and Pacific Islander Caucus, are uniquely focused on this with great leadership from Speaker Pelosi. We need data to make it clear that communities of color, low-income communities of every race, immigrant communities, have been uniquely and adversely, disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. So we've got to address the problem once we fully understand the problem that we know exists. But there are also underlying racial, social, and economic injustice issues that have to be confronted aggressively. One of the reasons why so many of the neighborhoods that I represent, particularly within the public housing communities, have been so hard hit by COVID-19 is because of the lack of underlying support heading into this crisis, the dense and crumbling nature of much of the housing stock, and the fact that many people are disproportionately suffering from high rates of pre-existing conditions such as diabetes and heart disease and respiratory illness and obesity. And the things that make COVID-19 exposure particularly vicious. And if we don't come out of this and address those fundamental inequalities, it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. So there is a moral imperative on behalf of the country to address these communities that have been hit hard as a result of underlying social and economic inequalities.
Last question. We talked at the beginning about Mitch McConnell wanting certain things like liability protection for businesses that reopen in exchange to aid for state and local governments so that state and local governments could more fully provide COVID emergency services, keep the schools decently funded, everything else. McConnell is also bringing back the Senate into session in person next week. I see Speaker Pelosi was going to bring back the House in person too, but now has decided against it. Here's President Trump's subtle way of responding to that.
They're enjoying their vacation.
Are you on vacation in COVID lockdown, Congressman?
Not at all, and there's certainly nothing subtle about President Trump, particularly when he suggests that the American people ingest poison as a way of combating the coronavirus. And so it's hard to take anything that he says seriously at this particular point in time. We are not on vacation. We are at home in our districts, and particularly those of us who are in places that have been hit hard by the pandemic are working hard each and every day to make sure that we are directly responding to the needs of the people that we're privileged to represent. At the same time, we do have a responsibility to continue to legislate on behalf of the American people and deal with the public health crisis and the economic crisis, the twin evils of this pandemic, shall we say. And we've got to do it in a way that is swift, thorough, comprehensive, and reaches the broadest number of the American people. So I expect that we will be back in Washington. We were just there last week. Passed the interim emergency relief bill. We'll be back in Washington sooner rather than later. The House physician indicated to Steny Hoyer, the majority leader, that the House was not prepared to safely receive 435 members who would descend on the Capitol for a full week of legislative activity outside of the COVID-19 emergency relief legislation. And so I still expect to be back there soon, but not necessarily until the doctor has made it clear that the House can safely receive everyone to conduct our normal legislative business. With respect to proceeding on emergency COVID-related matters, we are still going to go back and forth, and everybody's at home in their districts working incredibly hard.
Well, I hope you get soon the ability to vote remotely on bills that Congress has to pass, which you don't have now. That would make it easier to stay safe in uncertain times and still get your jobs done. I know you're not allowed to do that now, so hope you get that, and good luck on making the judgment about when the right time to go back is. Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from Brooklyn and Queens, and Chairman of the House Democratic Caucus under Nancy Pelosi, we always appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian. Always great to be on.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is obviously also a daily coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York, or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet at Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.